In your schools you have tests to find out what level the individual has reached. We don't perform the same kind of tests necessarily, where a person sits down with a piece of paper. Our test of Janice driving to Fort Smith and seeing that particular incident, tells us she is not at a point yet where she could discuss this. We would not hesitate to discuss with you these experiences and experiments that she has been present at. However, because of her residual damage, and I don't use the word damage in the context you humans would use it, but because of the residual remnants of the experience that would remain too close to her everyday consciousness, I cannot discuss them with you at this time. D, and I wouldn't want to do anything that would cause her any harm or discomfort. J, she is a very strong person. But when it comes to some matters, she is not yet ready to deal with them. 394, the custodians. D, I don't watch horror movies or things like that either. But if there are some things here that the world needs to know, I'm willing to write about them. Even though I don't like them. J, yes, you're evolving also. And each one of these sessions that you do places you more likely to develop that sense of being able to deal with them more. I don't have a word for a description of what I'm. D, I keep thinking of negative. These things are negative. J, in your frame of reference that would be correct. However, at this particular time we would say to you that the focus you need is not in relation to the negativity, for the American government is doing enough in that area to promote the aliens in an unfavorable light. Therefore the work you are doing is simply designed, and by your own design, an effort to present the alien in the true light that we came to be presented in. That's actually why we're working with you. D, yes, because I don't believe all the horror stories I've heard. J, there are horror stories. I will not tell you there are not. D, I have the feeling I am speaking to a female entity. Is that correct? J, yes, you are. D, there's a different sound to the voice, and a different presence, it seems like. J, Janice had been wanting to contact me, so I came. I am the entity who is sometimes with her after some of her adjustments. D, the first entity I spoke to seemed to be rather a mechanical, robot type. I am speaking of the little gray being, J. Actually he was simply having to participate into events at the same time. And that's why the transmission was cut very short there. He was unable to adequately maintain and participate with you and participate in the other event at the same time. D, that was the second one I've spoken to. When I spoke to him, he had a very authoritarian. The alien base inside the mountain, 395, J, no. His authoritarian side was at another event. D, but the very first contact I had through this vehicle was a mechanical type, very robot-like. J, and what is your question? D, it seems as though they're all different. J, that is because Janice works with more than one type of energy. D, the first one didn't understand many of my questions. It was more like a robot. J, the first one was not a robot. But in your sense of the word robot, that could be true. It's just a different type of a being. D, he seemed to be, well, not human, is the only way I can explain it. J, in your sense of the word human, that is correct. But in my sense of the word human, he is very human. D, but wasn't he a different type? J, yes, very much so. And that is the level that needed to come to you in order for you to know, first of all, that you were in contact with the space energies. Otherwise, there are times when you perhaps would not recognize it, because the voices can become so similar to what you'd call human-level voices. You consider yourself talking to a human type of being now, although you are not. D, I'm not? No, I have a very good feeling up to you. J, well, I'm a very good being. And so was the little person that you considered to be a robot. He was a good being. He was just totally foreign from what you consider human. D, can you tell me what kind of a being you are? J, I'm a being of the same energy pattern that you spoke to in your last session. I am a counterpart. D, what does that mean? J, that means I am the female side of the energy you talked to before. D, do you have a physical body? J, yes, I do. D. What does that body look like? 396. The custodians. J. In what respect? Do you want to know my description of myself to you in human terms, or my description of myself to you in terms of how I live? D. Well, I don't think I'm going to have enough time right now to go into all of that. I was just wondering how your physical body appeared. Maybe we can go into the other at the next session. J. Well, my physical body appears very much as A. She seemed to be amused. I have a face. I have all the counterparts that a human would have. If I came to Earth, you would not know the difference. D. But yet you say D. You are not human. J. I am human, but I am more than human. D. Do you mean more highly evolved? J. More highly evolved in an energy state, and also more physically highly evolved. D. Can you elaborate on that? J. I have eyes that look. I don't know whether you would say oriental, for they are not oriental. It is hard to compare from my frame of reference of where I was when you asked the question. So I will have to reassimilate for a moment, and tell you physically that I am not a tall person. My skin is creamy colored. I have a clear luminescent type of look to my complexion. My hands are. I do have hands, of a human. I look like a human. I am simply not. My eyes will give me away. D. Do you have hair? J. Yes, I do. It is auburn. It is dark. In your terms it would not be considered black. It's between a dark brown and black with some red highlights. D. If I come again, is there any way I can speak with you? J. If it is my turn to come, I will be here. You see, when you work with Janus, there are other beings you will be discussing things with. So it is dependent upon what point you come, at what time you come, and what is necessary for the information to be given at that time. So in speaking to me, if it is my time to come, I will simply be here. The alien base inside the mountain, 397. D. Well, I do want to ask one more question. I am attempting to have several sessions with Janus in one day, because of the distance I had to travel. Would this be physically all right for her? J. Yes, it will be. And I can answer that because of the fact that my area of expertise has to do with physicalness. It has to do with the area of the, you would perhaps say medicinal, psychological. You could say in your frame of reference that I am a doctor, although that term would not be sufficient to describe all that I am. Because my area of expertise does not necessarily relate to just the physicalness of the human, but also to the planet. D. I didn't want to attempt anything that would tire her in any way or harm her. J. She will not be tired. I would say to you that you will be told through us if that occurs, so therefore do not place the responsibility upon yourself. For we will help you to determine that by telling you. D. Then I want to awaken her in a few minutes, and have a few hours off, and then return. I've never attempted having several sessions in one day before, and I didn't want to tire her out. J. She has a reservoir that is amazingly refillable and her rejuvenative powers are very, very strong. D. Then I will return in a few hours of our time here, and contact you or whoever is available. Would that be permissible? J. Yes. May I say to you, peace be with you? D. And I really enjoyed being in your presence. J. And so have I. We will meet again. I then requested the entity to leave, and asked for the total personality of Janus to return to her body. When Janus gave indications that she was back, I then brought her forward to full consciousness. Janus retained an image of the doctor in her mind after she awakened, and wanted to describe her. She was very, 398, the custodians, beautiful, with long dark hair that was pulled back and gathered with a metal band. Janus preferred the word auburn as a description of the color of her hair. With a haunting appearance, her eyes were definitely her most distinguishing feature. They were deep dark green, and the shape was not exactly oriental. They reminded Janus of the ancient drawings on the walls in Egypt of people whose eyes were outlined with a dark substance. In the drawings, coal had been applied to outline the eyes with makeup lines that slanted upward from the corners of the eyes. Except, in the case of the doctor, that was the actual shape and appearance of the eyes, It was not done with makeup. This made me wonder where the ancient Egyptians got the idea of making up their eyes in this manner. Could they have actually seen these beings and wanted to imitate their beauty and unique appearance? We then went out to get a hamburger, and turned our conversation to the mundane things in our lives, so we could orient back to the outside world for a while before having another session. Chapter 11, The Energy Doctor. After we ate lunch and rested for a couple of hours, we started another session at approximately 3 p.m. I used Janice's keyword and she again entered deep trance very easily. Then I gave instructions to try to locate the same entity again. This time when I finished counting, Janice did not find herself on board a craft. Instead, she was floating in space, unsure of where she was going, or what she was trying to find. After more instructions, she saw a light. There's a focused light. It's a huge area like a pupil of an eye, except it's light. And I'm not through it yet. I'm either in it, or it's over my face. Something's happening to me. Whatever it was creating obvious physical sensations as she lay on the bed. The light changed colors. My head's feeling funny. Of course, her well-being was my first concern, and I gave suggestions to take away any physical sensations. I continued to ask if there was anyone around who could talk to us and explain the purpose of the light. Janice seemed frozen, and unable to do anything except focus on the light. I can't see past it. I think there is someone here, but I can't stop looking at it. She was taking big breaths. It's doing something. It's a really strong light. It's waiting for something. I'm not sure what. This went on for several seconds. 399. 400, the custodians, and in spite of my suggestions to do so, she was unable to move past it. It's like I'm on hold or something. I need to go through it. D, do you want to? J, I think so. It's right over my face. D, I only want you to do what feels comfortable to you. What does it feel like? Foo, go into it. J, a cloud. Like steam. It's making my body feel funny. It's not tingling, but it's like when your foot comes back from being asleep. You know, that funny feeling. My whole body feels that way right now. And sometimes the light has an edge around it. It's concentrated in a center and then out from it there's a dark area, and it moves, it comes toward me. It's pretty too. It was colors, and now it looks like steam, but not the color of steam. It's dark but it's not like evil, and it's not bad. It feels good. D, did you go through the light? J, I don't know if I did or not. I don't see it, or else I'm in it. My body doesn't feel funny now. It was feeling really strange. I think I've done this before. I know now what it was. That's the first stage. It's like you dissolve. Chuckle. It was just for a second there I felt like a yo-yo. You know, bonk. Chuckle. D, well, you're all back in one piece anyway. All right. Let's find somebody around who can answer our questions. Pause. Is anybody there? After all this searching, it surprised me when the entity answered. Janice was definitely gone, because this voice was soft and sweet and gentle. J, what is it that you want to know? D, well, the first question, what was the purpose of that light? J, it is a source of contact. The Energy Doctor, 401, the female entity was definitely back. It was easy to recognize that lyrical, sweet voice. D, it was bothering Janice a little, because it made her body feel so strange. J, it does make the physical body feel strange, but it is very soothing to the mental state of the being. It is also a preliminary step in bilocation travel. D, are you the same being I spoke to a while ago? J, yes, I am. D, I said we would return in just a short while. J, but I am not located where you left me, therefore there was a difference in finding me. D, oh? Is that why it was harder this time? J, it was not a matter of hard or easy. It was just a matter of changing relative relational points in time and space. D, then our time here is not the same as the time you are experiencing? J, that is correct. And this is part of what Janice was experiencing. That shifting, because as she stated to you, she does go through a physical feeling of change as well as a shifting in time and space. That cannot be accomplished without some sensation in the physical. It is much as you would consider, in your terminology, suspended animation. Is that a term you understand?
D. Yes.
That seems to be where time stops, I believe.
J. That is similar to what must take place for the shift to occur.
So therefore the effect on the physical body is sometimes rather a strange feeling in that shifting transference of consciousness.
D.
Well, just out of curiosity, in the short time that passed from me, has it been a long period of time for you?
J. Pardon me?
D. Since I talked to you a while ago.
J. Oh, yes.
You are speaking in relation to the fact that it has been, in your time, approximately an hour or 2 hours.
Yes, in my time I have accomplished a year's work.
So, 402, the custodians, you see, there is a definite shift that takes place.
D. When I say D would come back in a few hours, I didn't realize you would have to wait that long.
J. Yes, I was continuing my life, just as you continued yours.
D. That's a little hard for me to understand. Well, when I was last speaking to you, you were describing yourself and you asked if I wanted to know how you lived. And I was afraid the answer would take too long at that time. Could you tell me something about that now?
J. Do you have any specific questions, or do you wish a general synopsis of what I participate in, or do you wish to know about my childhood?
Where do you?
Just find a starting point that would be satisfactory.
D. Just generalize it first, and then I can ask questions.
J. In my daily activity I participate in various missions to your planet. My work is very involved in some of the experiments that take place that Janice has participated in. She is familiar with me, because on more than one occasion we have participated. I know much about Earth science. As I told you earlier, in your frame of reference I could be considered a doctor of medicine. But at the same time, in our culture the doctor of medicine is more than just medicinal. We incorporate into our teachings and our professions the entire whole of the being as opposed to just generalized, specialized medicine. Much as if you would go to a kidney specialist, because we are a system specialist. That includes all systems, meaning physical, mental, molecular structure. I could go on and on. Earth science structures, communication structures systems, and various facets of those systems as they interrelate interdimensionally.
D. That sounds very complicated. You must be very intelligent.
J. Modestly. Well, I am considered to be accomplished.
D. Do you live on the ship, or do you go back and forth to your home?
J. I go back and forth to my home, but there are times when I live totally on the ship. There are times when my mission, the Energy Doctor, 403, has me assigned to a base, much as Ethan was assigned to a base earlier. That is why I am now speaking with you, because I am a part of the group of space energies that work with Janice.
D. Do you also work with other people?
J. I do work with others. We do have people on your planet that are our responsibility, so to speak.
D. I'm curious about where your home is.
J. My home is not in your galaxy.
D. But you say D. You could go back and forth. How is that accomplished?
J. It is accomplished past the speed of light.
D. We are used to thinking that the speed of light is the limit.
J. That is why interdimensional travel is unavailable to you.
D. Because of our limitations.
J. Exactly.
D. Is your home a physical planet?
J. It is a physical planet as such, yes.
D. Do you eat food?
J. We have different types of food. Actually in your Earth gardens you label everything, where we don't necessarily do that. In that we don't call an orange vegetable a carrot.
D. But do you consume food the same way we do?
J. We do consume food. Our food is different, in that the structure of it is different. In other words, we do not have animals that we eat. But there are different states of our beings. Much as your baby would grow up on milk. There is a time when as a child we eat one thing. Then as we ascend to adulthood we learn to exist on.
We would not eat what would be called in Earth terms conventional food. D. But you do consume it like we do and have a digestive tract? J. Our digestive tract is nothing like yours, although we do have a digestive tract. D. Do you have a respiratory system? J. Yes, we do. D. Circulatory? 404. The custodians. J. Yes, we do. But in the conventional sense of the word only. D. What do you mean? J. I mean that when we are in our galaxy and in our own element, these systems do not function as they function when we come to your Earth. So there is a definite difference, in that, by structurally, by systemically, in whatever environment we are in, these systems function differently. Comparing them to your systems, your digestive tract has one function and it functions that way only. Ours do not. D. You mean yours adjust to wherever you find yourself? Yes, would you also adjust to whatever elements in the air or in the food or whatever? J. Yes. That's why we can come to Earth and live on Earth undetected. D. You mean, live in the base? J. Or among you? D. Didn't you say you would be noticeable? J. Well, only to the individual who is aware of this kind of difference in being. D. You say their eyes might give you away. J. Not to the average individual. D. Then you must have a great deal of adaptability. J. Yes, we do. What I'm describing to you is but a fleeting type of recognition. Meaning that, you might be on the street, in a restaurant or somewhere, and pass by one of us. And in 1 second of contact, your system of knowing and individuals like Janice recognize that, it's as if there's a family recognition. Much as a mother would recognize her child without being able to see it. So it's that kind of recognition. And the Earth individual could pass on with that fleeting moment in time taking place, and yet not necessarily connect it. It would be as if to say, I know that person. There was something there. D. I've felt those feelings. J. But individuals who are more highly sensitive, and who have participated in recognition classes, are able to do that, the energy doctor, 405, and pass on without it affecting them. Because they accept the fact that it is a reality. And it is also the blending of two realities. Because of the fact that they also interact interdimensionally at the time they are on your Earth plane. It is easier for them to accept that, you see. The average individual would never even think of participating in but one reality. D. That's true. Then the other space beings do not have this adaptability. J. Some of them don't. There are all kinds of space beings, different kinds of races with different kinds of systems, much as there are all kinds of races on your planet. So what is peculiar to one race is not to another. The mechanical being that you spoke of earlier, was totally different from anything we experience or have on our planet. D. His systems and everything? J. Yes. He does not function as we do, in that, he does not consume food. D. What does he live on? What is his sustenance? J. He does not need food to live. D. He must have something that he uses for energy? J. Big sigh, in an effort to try and explain to you. The mechanical being functions mechanically, so that in him is a words. There are words to translate. Pause, perhaps if I explain to you, in your mechanical devices you insert a battery and they function. So when this type of individual comes to interact with your planet, he is fueled. It would be explained as if it were a particular, more of an electro type of energy, you see. D. Then he is more like a machine. Yes. Does that mean he was created by other beings, instead of? I'm thinking of how we create each other biologically. Was he created like a machine by other people? J. He was not created as a machine, because he is not a machine. He is a being. He is just a different being. And where he comes from, that is the kind of being that exists. D. How do they procreate? Duplicate each other? 406. The custodians. J. It has much to do with the electricity of their area. Electricity is not the word, for it is from an energy state. D. Do they need to duplicate themselves? J. They don't need to. They duplicate themselves just as we or you do, because sex to them is not sex to you. D. That's what I was wondering. If something was machine-like, I know that's probably not the right analogy. I was thinking maybe they would never die, and they would not have to create more. J. They die. D. Then they are mortal in that respect. J. In that respect. In their own space of mortality, yes, they are. D. So there would be a need to replace themselves, but it is done in a different way. Well, may I ask how your type procreate? J. There are two ways we can procreate. Pause. Well, I do not feel I should discuss this at this point. But I will tell you that one of the ways we procreate is as you procreate. D. Why do you have two different ways? J. Because of the type of being that is produced by each process. D. I've also heard that some beings are androgynous. J. They are. D. I'm always curious about these many different things. It was difficult and awkward to ask questions about a subject that she was obviously reluctant to discuss, but if you don't want to discuss it, that's all right. J. It's not a matter of not wanting to discuss it. It is more a matter of not being at liberty to discuss it. D. All right. Any time I ask a question that you can't answer, I just want to know, that's all. I had many questions I made notes of, that I wanted to ask. I don't know if you can give me the information or not. One thing I wanted to know about, was the other planets in our solar system. Do you have that information? Or you're in a different field, aren't you? The Energy Doctor, 407, J, I will have some of your information. I can tell you that there has been on the planet of Mars life as you now know it. D. There was? J. There was at a point in time. D. Was that before there was life on Earth? J. That was before there was the kind of life on Earth that exists now, yes. D. How advanced were these civilizations? J. These civilizations were very advanced. At one point in time Mars was, before the atmospheric changes, a planet much like your planet. However, a great changes took place during a cataclysmic event. So that life, as was currently known, became extinct on that planet. That is not to say there is not life there now. It's just not visible to you. D. What was this cataclysmic event? J. There was a juncture at which two planets collided. And the fallout from that collision changed the atmosphere of Mars. D. They couldn't live because of that? J. They couldn't live because they burned. D. What type of beings lived there? J. A type of being similar to you. D. A humanoid type. J. Yes. They had more advanced systems than you do, physically, physiologically. Their society was more advanced than yours. The interactions of their people were more advanced. They didn't have the wars and murders and things that go on your planet. So it was a more peaceful state of being, because their consciousness was at a different level. They were not at fault for what happened to their planet, as you are for what is happening to yours. D. They had cities? J. Yes, they had cities, the remnants of which you could probably see. D. There is a phenomenon that people say they can see on Mars. It's called the face on Mars. Do you know anything about that? 408. The custodians, J. Yes. It is a symbol to tell you that your face has been there, meaning humanity's face, for being similar to yourself. D. How was that produced? J. I can't tell you that. I don't know how. D. But it was done by the race of people that lived there? J. No, it was not. D. Then it was formed later? Yes, but you don't know who put it there or? J. No, I do not. It is symbolic. D. It is also said there are Ptobi pyramids near this. J. As I am telling you, civilization much like your own existed on that planet. Your planet could become the second Mars in this solar system if it is not careful. Psi, a very delicate situation exists now. That's why some of the experiments and projects are taking place now. D. They think it could happen here? Yes, but you said there is life on Mars that is not visible to us? J. That is correct. D. Can you tell me about that?
Jay, I can tell you about that, but I'm... She hesitated as though we were encroaching upon forbidden ground.
Dee, there are many scientists who would like to know these things.